Throughout the week, I find myself using the word love regularly. I find myself saying I love it when I see a beautiful sunset, or eat some delicious food, or even when I hear a witty or interesting remark. But for the past several years, I have attempted to be more intentional in how I use this word, love. I've tried to avoid using it casually. But truthfully, it is so ingrained in me and reinforced by many others who also use it that I've not done so well in this challenge. And this is not unique to me. In our age, the word love has become a word that is used often, and I think typically with little thought. The casual use of the word love undermines the profound biblical implications of the meaning of that word. Our casual use of the word love reduces it to a common expression of favor or delight and detaches it from its profound theological meaning. And I think that ultimately leaves us disadvantaged when we try to understand a gospel passage like we have today. Today's passage is the concluding section of Matthew's gospel that we have been hearing over the course of the last 4 weeks. It began with the religious leaders asking Jesus, by what authority did he teach and heal? Was his authority from God, from Satan, or from himself? Jesus never quite answers directly, but in the course of this passage, or this section, tells various parables. Now, the religious leaders ask Jesus this question not because they are really curious or hope to learn more about who Jesus is. They are asking simply to entrap him, hoping he'll say something that they can use against him that will allow them to arrest and kill him. What we hear today is their final attempt to entrap Jesus. They ask him, what is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replies, saying, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Jesus doesn't just name one commandment as being great, which means the most important. Instead, he links the command to love God, which is found in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, with a command to love one's neighbor, found in Leviticus 19, verse 18. It's that Leviticus passage that we heard this morning as our first reading. Jesus says that the second commandment is like the first, which means they are interrelated. They are of similar importance. Jesus is teaching that these two commands must go together because they together summarize what it means to faithfully follow God. Together, these two commandments articulate the life of holiness to which God calls us. To understand this call, we need to understand what Jesus means by love, not how we typically use it, but what he is saying. And this is where we are at a disadvantage. The love that Jesus references is not like our love of ice cream or a beautiful sunset or a new car. Rather, this is the love by which the universe is created and on which it rests. This love is not merely an attribute or practice of God, one characteristic among many others, but it is in fact the very identity of God. Scripture tells us that God is love. Love is God's identity. The three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are a community of love. Three persons, one God, bound together in love. Love binds the three persons of the Trinity in communion, and love flows outward from the triune Godhead to all of creation. This love defines the nature of God and also God's intention for the whole of creation. This is love that intends the wholeness and well-being of every creature, so that all become just as God has created them to be. This love has as its object humanity and the whole of creation, and provides each creature what it needs to be, who God calls it to be. This love is not casual, nor is it about warm feelings. It is not predicated on reciprocity, needing to be returned by a loving response. This love is rather a commitment. It is a choice. It is choosing to love, not based on how one might feel or on how others respond, but it is given simply because God loves us. This love is our response to the great gift of God's love for us. Because God loves us without question or reserve, we are to respond by loving God. And loving God then impels us to love our neighbor. The first letter of John makes this connection clear when it says, "Those who say, 'I love God,' and hate their brothers or sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also." Living this kind of love is not dependent on what we might feel. While we may have warm feelings of gratitude when we contemplate all that God has done for us, certainly there are other times when we don't experience such emotion. But the love of Jesus that Jesus calls from us is not predicated on emotion. It is instead love that is action. It is the commitment to love God and to love our neighbor because God loves us and cares for us. And in loving our neighbor, we imitate God. This love, not predicated on affection and reciprocity, is based on commitment. It is love that takes no account of another's worthiness or deserving. It does not insist on being shared or returned. It is love freely given because God first loved us. The faithful person's response to being loved by God is to in turn love one's neighbor. This command to love God and our neighbor is without question demanding. Jesus teaches that his way of love means loving those who dislike us, those who disagree with us, even those who wish us harm. Jesus commands we love our enemies as ourselves, that we love those who hate us. This way of love is a total commitment to God's ways, giving the whole of our being over to the love of God, so that God's love fills us to overflowing, and God's love spills and moves forth from us to those around us. This is love so demanding and so challenging that we can only hope to live this way because of God's power. This way of love goes against our very nature, goes against how we are taught to live. We will not love as perfectly as God loves. And when we fail, we're called to be honest, to repent, to return to God, and then resume giving ourselves over to love, trusting God to strengthen and lead us in this demanding way. Loving God and our neighbor, I think, is especially demanding for those of us living in this nation. For we live in a society that values above all else the individual and the individual's rights. Our society is very focused on amassing material things for oneself, for one's family. It is easy for us to forget the importance of the communal, of acting for the greater good of society. Our national life has become so fractured that our differences become declarations of war, with opponents considered enemies who must be annihilated. As followers of Jesus, we are called to reject these ways of our world. Ours is a heavenly call. It is the invitation to walk the way of love as revealed in Jesus. And this way requires we love those who disagree with us, that we treat them with respect, the respect they deserve as beloved children of God. It demands we love our enemies, praying for them, and remembering always they are created and loved by God as well. Love calls us to sacrifice for the well-being of others. That is so clear in this time of pandemic, when what we can do by way of loving others is to wear masks, to practice social distancing, to help prevent the spread of the coronavirus, and to continue and do so even now, when we are growing ever weary of the pandemic, growing weary of living with all these restrictions. But we are called to act from love, remembering the virus is surging, that many are becoming ill. And love bids us sacrifice our desires for the wellness of our neighbors. And as the pandemic leaves many unemployed and underemployed, with more families going hungry each week, we are called to love by sharing for those in need. I was so grateful to hear this week that Camp Street Ministries will prepare and distribute 400 Thanksgiving baskets. Let us generously support them in love by donating food and money so that our neighbors have a meal on Thanksgiving Day. Loving God and our neighbor calls those of us who are white to learn the history of our nation and our church. Love calls us to set aside our preconceived notions and to lower our defenses, accepting the reality of our painful history of white supremacy. Love calls us to repent of structural racism and to actively work to be anti-racists by committing ourselves to dismantling racism and building a just and equitable society. Loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and loving our neighbors as ourselves is no small task. It requires turning over our entire being to God. It asks of us a daily commitment to love, of repenting when we fail to love, and then trying again. It asks a humility of us, that we admit our powerlessness and trust the Holy Spirit to empower and fill us, to lead us in the way of God's love. Our gospel today ends with Jesus asking the Pharisees a question. At last, Jesus answers the religious leaders' question that opened this whole section. Jesus finally tells the leaders where his authority comes from. Now, it likely sounds cryptic. It certainly was to those who heard him. But what Jesus is doing is he's quoting a portion of Psalm 110 in answer to their question. In this quote, Jesus is telling them that he is the Son of God, the one who is sent by the Father to reveal God to humanity. Jesus is none other than God revealed in human flesh, who comes to lead humanity to God's divine life of love. Jesus' answer confounds and silences his opponents, but his answer doesn't fit their agenda of how they can entrap and arrest him. And so they don't respond. They ask him no more questions. But for us, the answer that Jesus gives is cause for our hope and our joy. Jesus is the visible incarnation of God's love for us. Jesus stoops to put on human flesh in order to show us what love looks like, in order to show us how to live by love. The way of love that Jesus reveals is a demanding call. Ultimately, it leads Jesus to the horror of death on the cross. The good news is that the cross is not the last word, for Jesus reveals divine love that is more powerful than any force in this world. This love is stronger than death. This love cannot be contained by the tomb. This love overcomes all forces of evil, setting creation right, setting creation as God intends. Let us accept Jesus' daily invitation to walk his way of love, not because it is easy, not because it comes naturally, but because it is the only path to the fullness of life that God intends for us and for all humanity. giving ourselves over to God's love, loving God and our neighbor, is the way to fullness of God's reign. It is the way of fierce love, that love of God that claims us, that holds us, that promises never to let us go. Amen.